Let's see if we can't get this thing inflated. It's the news, according to me. Good morning once again. It is Thursday, July 28th, 6:52. Right, as I was saying the two, it actually flipped over into two. So six. That's because this channel is this is the most accurate podcast on the planet. Yes. Early morning. I noticed, here's an interesting thing about this. Just a side note. I should call this show the side note. That's all I do. I just do side notes. There's no topic. Everything's a side note. But I did notice, for those of you who are interested, in the numbers, if you play the numbers game here, the numbers, when I post my show early in the morning, it, ironically, now this is all recorded one take. I'm not a Joe Biden. I don't clip every sentence and half sentence as I'm doing a speech when they edit stuff. But I've noticed that when I post stuff early in the morning, like before 7 o'clock, if I can get the show posted before 7 o'clock, my listenership goes up by more than double. It's huge. So I don't know. It's funny because I am a morning person. And being a morning person, I don't know if that's, has something to do where I connect with my morning audience better. I don't know. Maybe I need to start getting up a little earlier. Now when I'm on the road traveling, typically I have a tendency to be able to get up earlier and get the show done because I get up, work out, and then I start the show, which is what I'm doing this morning. Now, unfortunately, this morning I sat down without my drink. I have no cup. My cup is over there. I do this all the time. If you ever listen to me on the road, this is what I do all the time. I sit down, start my recording, and then I look over there longingly at the refrigerator, knowing that my drink and my cup with my sweet tea is in there. So I'm going to do what I do so often. I'm going to go ahead and take off my headphones. I'm going to walk over there. You're going to hear me go over there. I'm on over there now. I'm going to get my tea. Come back over here from the refrigerator. Ah, sweet tea. Yeah. This is, I'm in Atlanta right now. Atlanta, Georgia. And it is hot down here right now. It's not as hot as I expected it to be. In fact, let's just take a look at the weather. I'll be down here until Saturday evening, at which time I will be going back to Indiana. I'm actually hoping to be spending Saturday evening on my boat because I can't pick up my dog Saturday or Friday night. I have to pick him up on Sunday morning anyway. So I'm planning to do that. Anyway, the high today is 91 here in Atlanta. About the time I get done working and head. Yeah, that'll be great. So, and tomorrow is supposed to rain. It's still supposed to be 91 degrees, but it's supposed to rain tomorrow and the next day up in the 90s. That's just great. The good news is they got my air conditioner fixed. It was kind of funny yesterday. I let them know, hey, my air conditioner is not working. And they sent somebody up a couple hours later. But about the time I was just about to take a nap. I couldn't really sleep because it was so hot and uncomfortable in here. And knock, knock, knock. So I went to the door, and sure enough, some guy came in, checked out on the air conditioner. And then he basically said, yeah, we're going to put another one in it. So he left, came back 5 minutes later. And within 30 minutes of the first knock, I had a whole different air conditioner in the wall here. And I have to say that's pretty good service, actually. I don't know. And it works. By the way, this one works. It's working well. I might turn the temperature down just a little bit because it's still just a little bit humid. Of course, I just got done climbing up and down 12 flights of stairs. Actually, 13 flights because there's a basement. I got a little bit of a sweat going on here. So I wish you could smell it. It's a sweet smell. That's what the sweet tea's for. I had some V8 Fusion before I started my workout this morning, which I didn't do yesterday. But anyway, getting on to the news here. That's enough of this. That's enough of this drivel. You don't want to listen to this drivel all day long. This isn't the drivel show. It should be called the drivel show. The drivel side show is what it's a side note. The side note drivel is what it should be called. One thing people aren't really talking about right at the moment is inflation. They're all talking about this GDP retraction thing, and if we have a second quarter of GDP retraction, in other words, the gross national product is how much we're producing as a nation. And if we're not growing, we're retracting, and if we're retracting, that's not a good sign. And if it goes through two quarters of that, which is 6 months, that means we are officially in a recession. That just the news of a recession will typically causes other things to happen. The Democrats think that news or news cycle or just they like to play the old wag the dog thing. And what that means is the tail wagging the dog rather than the dog wagging the tail. Now, I think there was a movie out a while back called Wag the Dog. Let me take a look at this. And it has to do with how they control, they use the news media to control, let's see if I can find this, Wag the Dog. There is this Wag the Dog movie. There it is. And it had, who was the guy that was in it? Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, Woody Harrison. I'm pretty sure it was shortly before the election. Spin doctor. Yeah, they're talking about shortly before an election, a spin doctor, they put on this whole thing. And it has to do with elections, actually, and how they... I never saw the movie. I heard it was a pretty decent movie. It has a lot of top names in it. Anne Hesch, Kristen Durst, Michael Bunce-Bolson. Yeah, I was thinking there was another movie with Robert Downey Jr. in it, and I can't remember what that one was. It was very similar. But I get him confused with Iron Man all the time. So anyway, the idea is that they think that the news cycle has, and it does. It does have a very significant effect on the psyche of the electorate. Those are those who vote in the elections. And it's interesting that. The Democrats have a tendency to lean on that quite a bit more than Republicans do. Republicans don't really see the benefit of the optics of a situation. They're more scared of the optics of a situation, whereas the Democrats use the optics of a situation because they can get away with it. When you have the media on your side, it makes a huge difference in terms of what you can do and what you can get away with because they can flush things down the memory hole really quickly with control of the media the way they do. Whereas if you do something wrong, the tendency is for Republicans to be scared of optics, whereas the Democrats use it offensively. And that's mostly because they can. Now, it doesn't always work the way they want it to, but they do it. They try it all the time. They'll say, "Well, no, we're not in a recession. We're not in a recession." That's not the definition of a recession. Two quarters of retraction is not a definition of a recession. Well, then what is? Well, that's not it. No, I didn't ask you what's not it. I said what is it? And that they won't answer that question. Karine won't answer that question. Jean-Pierre won't answer that question. Nobody in the administration will answer that question. All they're going to tell you is, "No, you're not seeing what you're seeing." Economists have all pretty much agreed that two quarters of retraction, we're in a recession, folks. And if they can't feel it, they have to just go by. They have to look at the numbers. Oh well, we'll see. We're not in a retraction. This is the same thing. We'll just have to redefine it. We'll have to change the numbers around. We'll have to get a different way of looking at it. This is what they do with unemployment numbers. Well, unemployment's way down there. It's like 3%. Oh yeah, okay. Tell me about that. Yes. Why is there so many the same businesses that were open before with workers, are there all of a sudden there are new jobs, more jobs? How is it that we all of a sudden have more jobs with fewer people? What they don't, they give you this, it's called the G14 or whatever they call it, the way that they, it's a different metric that they use now to determine what the actual unemployment rate is. Because we are underemployed. The problem is the workforce has gone down. In other words, there are fewer people in the workforce. For, I don't know why. Since COVID, this has been a very interesting development. And it's still, I've heard a lot of theories on this. I'm not even going to get into it because I don't, they're so varied in the determination of what is going on here. I have a suspicion of what's going on. I'm not even going to go down that road. And you know me, I don't mind going down a road. Doesn't bother me at all, but I'm not going down that road. Typically, this is just an area of, I don't know what's going on. And like I said, I have a hunch, I have a suspicion. And maybe at some point I will do a little more research into what's happening and look at some more numbers and see what's happening and maybe talk to a few people. But we have fewer people in the labor force. So therefore they say, well, unemployment's down. We had, I think we're at 15 million fewer jobs now. Is that right? Or is it 15 fewer people in the labor force? I guess it is. So the whole thing is based on how many jobs are available, how many companies are looking for work, how many people are in the labor force looking for work, and the difference between those two, and how many people are filing unemployment claims. All those things play into this metric that they have. And if you have fewer people, if all of a sudden we had 1 million people working, and instead of 100 million people working, and then but there was only but they would say, well, unemployment's at 0%. Well, there's 90 million jobs out there to be had, but just nobody's going to work. And only, you know, 10 people are filing for unemployment. Well, they say, oh, unemployment's way down there. Well, no, we're having a problem here, folks. We're not producing. People aren't working. Why? That's the question is why. And I don't think it has something to do with it. Money has something to do with it, but I don't think it has that much to do with it. I know that the people I work with are just, they feel like they're burned out. they're just tired. You know, we were told for two years, people were told their jobs were unessential. The people who were told that their jobs were essential didn't get any kind of extra compensation for the extra hours that they worked, the time that they put in, the risks that they took. And now there are people who went off, got unemployment, and made a lot more money than the people who were working in some cases. Turn around, and those people now are getting paid more because they're getting sign-on bonuses and those kinds of things. It's frustrating. It's humiliating. It is discouraging. And now California is talking about masking up again because BA5, the ninja virus, it's coming to get you. And, of course, monkeypox. My understanding is 5 people have died from monkeypox. And it's an international health concern, according to the World Health Organization. This seems a little bit overstretched. Now, I don't know if it's because it's an election year again and then we have to go back to drop boxes and mail in ballots. Speaking of voting, the election is coming up. And the Dems are getting more and more desperate. And you're going to see some very radical moves. And as we get into August here, by the end of August, if they can't turn things around with regard to the narrative on January 6th, and Joe Biden's bumbling economy, let alone the border and everything else that's going. Energy prices are up. I mean, it's not just inflation. It's also recession, inflation. And then you have just the whole ball of wax issues of uncertainty in economic confidence. We have this war going on over in Ukraine that we have to, I guess maybe they feel like sending this all these billions of dollars over there makes it seem like it's more serious. We're doing something to stop the war. There was an interesting report yesterday. One person who was interviewed in Ukraine, he said the aid that they're getting, the help that they're getting, is just enough to keep the war going. It's not enough to end it. In other words, they don't have an... Here again, I have this real unsettling feeling about just sending billions of dollars in cash over to a country that is war-torn right now, where people are fleeing, organizations are in disarray. There's no accountability to where money is going. There's now been some reports, Redacted had a rather large report the other day on the amount of money and weapons and cash that have been, caches of weapons, that have been stolen in the process of transport and transfer of funds. It's ridiculous amount of money. I'm as concerned about that as I am on the, or I should say I'm concerned about that, but on the other hand, I'm just as much, if not more, I'm more concerned about other organizations that are actually getting this money, that are meant to get this money by this administration, that are funneling money back to the DNC, or ultimately organizations around that, PAC groups, everything else that's coming, money's coming back to eventually. We're talking billions of dollars here. That you can slush this money around and feed into campaigns and accomplish certain things that are very nefarious. All that stuff requires money. You need to pay off mules. You need to pay off Antifa folks that are doing things. You need to be able to deliver bricks in places where they're going to be. You know, all that requires funding. Who's buying the bricks? Who's paying for these bricks that show up on the street when Antifa starts to do a demonstration somewhere? And who's looking into it? The FBI is spending time and effort and money, which, by the way, the FBI has become... It amazes me that Grassley had his people investigating the FBI at the upper levels and has determined now that there's some corruption there. Has he been living under a rock? For anybody who's not paying attention, I understand they're not, they don't understand. The average Joe out there who hasn't been following what's going on with the FBI has no ideas. When I spend a lot of time out there in society, young folks and the younger generation, the 20s and the 30-somethings. 30-somethings tend to be a little different. They tend to be in this different realm. But the 20-year-olds out there, most of the population, they have headphones on. They have their earbuds in. And they're listening to music. You can hear them listening to music. You know, they're wagging their heads. They're waving around. They're walking down through the, you know, down the airport, down the street, whatever they're doing. They got their headphones on. They're listening to music. Or they're listening to something. They're not paying attention to the news. All they're doing is going through life, the social swings of everything that's happening. And it's interesting that if you can't see that this is spiritual in nature, in terms of what's happening with our society right now, with our culture, you don't have to dig down very far to see that there's connections being made that you can't see. Now, when that happens, when three or four different industries or three to four different companies or they all kind of do the same thing. Everybody in society kind of does the same thing at the same time without any real communication between the two. When they all have kind of the same motive, when their greed or their lust for power leads them down the same path and they do the same types of things, you start to realize there's no communication between these two people, but they're doing the same thing at the same time. There's something spiritually connected there. That's called evidence of things unseen. That's what I call it. In fact, that's the subtitle of the book I've got to write. Things are moving so quickly right now, it is really difficult to write the book because I'm trying to write the book to be a contemporary view of what's happening. And as I write it, things are happening so quickly that I can't keep up. So I think I'm just going to have to just write it as it is and put it out there and just not make it as long of a book and as in-depth of a book as I really wanted to go with. Maybe I'm going to have to write several books. Maybe I just have to start writing more like a pamphlet type thing and put it out there, or articles. Because it is literally, things are moving so quickly that I can't keep up with this stuff. It is absolutely ridiculous. Now, having said all of that, we have an election coming up. There's all this money floating around out there. The Dems have their excuses for why the economy is in the situation that it is. People are forgetting how good things were under Trump. However, there's been a lot of interviews with people on the street lately. It's becoming very obvious that the administration is losing the support of, I'm just going to say Latin Americans or those from, Latino, South America, Central America folks who are here in the country. They're losing them. It amazes me that on moral issues, most Latino would align directly with 90% of the Republican Party. The only thing that they don't care for is some of the social policies. Now, in my area where I live, there is a rather large population of Latino. And because of that, what has happened, what has developed there is they've started their own businesses now. They're not just people picking apples in the orchard anymore. They've started tire shops and grocery stores. Just the fundamentals of life, the things you need to get through each day. They're running businesses, good businesses. Solid. They've been there years. They are entering into the economy and understanding what's going on in terms of economic situations and taxes and all those other things that they're having to do. They understand the economics of this whole thing. And because of that, because they've become more independent and not dependent on the government, this always happens. When you start to become independent and you start to become self-sufficient and productive, and you're finding out that, hey, I've got a skill, I've got this talent, I've got this ability, I can produce something that's a value for other people, and they're willing to pay me for that. And all of a sudden, the government steps in and says, oh, now, wait a minute. You need to pay. You owe us now because, you didn't build that. You have to pay us for that. You have to pay us 10% of that, and it's come to us. All of a sudden, people start going, wait a minute. So if I'd have sat on my butt and just collected a check, you wouldn't be taking anything from me. But now all of a sudden I've gone out and produced, and now you want to penalize me for that. You think you deserve some of this? Well, you know, you gotta pay taxes. Gotta pay taxes. Oh, you have millionaires and billionaires. Well, Bernie. All of a sudden, he became a millionaire, and he stopped saying millionaires and billionaires. He started saying billionaires. He left out the millionaires. See how that works? That's how that works. It's as disingenuous as anything I've ever seen in my life. But that's typical. That's the typical leftist mentality. So what am I saying today? What's the subject of the whole thing? The subject is, we need to be on alert. We need to be on guard in these next couple of months. Now, I don't like the fact, and I've made this very well known in some of my other shows, I don't like the fact that the Republicans are potentially going to win by default. They're not going to win based on any policies. They're just winning by being quiet and letting this administration go down the tubes. And they're going to... This is no way to win an election. It's fine. I mean, it's, you know, at least we're getting rid of these other guys that are screwing things up. And they're kind of showing their colors because they're just running rampant right now with their radical ideas. However, once the Republicans take the House, things will improve. Don't get me wrong. They will be able to stop some of this ridiculousness. The problem that we've got is there are still a huge number of establishment GOP people. Now, look at this Cassidy Hutchinson lady, for example. They've gotten a hold of more of her texts from prior to when she testified, if you want to call it that, to the J6 committee. Prime example of this. Somebody has offered her a job. Somebody's offered her something. Because prior to the January 6th commission, the things she was saying are diametrically opposed to what she was saying on the stand. Something has changed her motivation. I don't understand how people can't see that, and it's so disingenuous. The hug that she received from Liz Cheney afterwards, I don't think the establishment realized. The establishment has a lot of power, and there's a lot of clout there. There's a lot of money behind them. However, they are dying in terms of people's support of them, and they realize it. They know what's going on. I don't think they want to admit it to themselves, but they know they're going to become desperate like the Democrats. Desperate people do desperate things. And my concern is that the Democrats are very desperate, and their battle cry continues to be, we're going to lose our democracy. If people vote them out, they're going to lose the democracy. How ridiculous of a statement is that? If we democratically lose, we've lost our democracy. The democratic process takes them out of office, somehow we've lost the democracy, because it's their democracy, and their democracy is not anything to do with a representative republic, a constitutional representative republic based on individual rights. They don't care about that. They want you to own nothing and be happy. We'll tell you when you're happy. And even that statement, the way the globalists say that statement, they'll say, you will own nothing and you'll be happy. They're telling you. You're going to own nothing, and you're going to be happy. They want you paying rent. Now, and this is a big deal in terms of China buying up all the property over here and renting, creating rental properties. You stop and think about that. When you have a landlord, and they're in charge of where you're living, think about how they can run your life, the effect that they have on your life. It's pretty dramatic. They're making inroads into taking over this country, and it's getting a little creepy, scary. We won't even talk about the whole DNA thing. Well, folks, it's another short show this morning, about a 30-minute show for you this morning, and I apologize, just because I'm on the road, I have a tendency to do my shows a little bit shorter. But I will be back tomorrow morning. I'm hoping to put together some information and some sound bites. Yesterday I was just wiped out. But today I will have more time to put together some sound bites for you. And things that have been said here in the last week by Liz Cheney and some others. And we will do our best to have you hear those things tomorrow as we head into the weekend. And I will try to get you a show. I might try to do a live show tomorrow or tonight. It's possible tonight. It's a possibility. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great day. And pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. And be on the alert, as I said. Because it is Thursday. Take care, everybody. God bless.